Hey, you guys, you know who we are, and you know why, but you don't know why we're here. That's right. It's Drew and Arnold, and we're here to review WCW Nitro from March 10th, 1997. Spring Breakout 1997, by the way. From Panama City, Florida's Club La Vila. I don't speak Spanish, Arnold. Do you know what La Vila means?
I have no idea.
Don't care. Didn't look like an establishment I'd want to be at.
Well, it is in Florida.
That's one part of it. But I guess we're going to start this show on a somber note. I did the Scott Hall debuting on Nitro intro. I think most of everybody's probably heard by the time this will release this afternoon that Scott Hall passed away last night. Complications from, what was it, hip surgery. He fell a couple weeks ago, broke his hip, was having surgery to repair it, and something didn't go as planned, and I think he had 3 heart attacks, was on life support. Not that important. But I guess we can talk about, Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, the impact he had on wrestling overall, and I don't think that could be understated.
Not at all. I think realistically, I mean, look at what we're doing now, WCW Nitro, and how it's been for the last, say, roughly 8 months up to this point.
Yeah.
If Razor and Diesel did not leave WWF, I don't think we would have seen professional wrestling take the turn that it did,
so to speak. I probably not only agree with that, I 100% agree with that. I just can even go farther that I think if they don't show up like they did in that angle, I don't think we'd be talking about either company right now.
Mm-mm.
Because they were both floundering at this time. About this time,
very true.
Compared to what it became, they were floundering. Yeah, they weren't like broke, going out of business, but it didn't become the big giant boom for a couple years that it ended up being.
Absolutely.
And that's 100% Hall and Nash showing up on Nitro. I mean, without that, it's crazy just to think just the butterfly effect, one little butterfly flutters his wings and we get the NWO.
That's absolutely right. And I mean, and that's the wild thing about that, because I mean, these guys were already big stars before they jumped to the other company. And I mean, they could have just been complacent, stay where they were, took their paychecks. And I mean, who knows what would have went down with those guys had they stayed there. Who knows what would have went down with the business as a whole had they stayed there. And I mean, we definitely wouldn't be talking about the NWO. None of that,
Nope. It was such a perfect domino effect that everything just fell into place at the beginning, like where we are now, fell into place just at the perfect times. I mean, Hall and Nash's contract comes up. They jump over. Bischoff saw some stuff in New Japan, decided to copy it. That's not a bash. That's not a put down on Eric Bischoff, because wrestling is a lot of copying somebody else. It's because if your audience hasn't seen it, it's new to them.
Mm-hmm. Very right.
There was like 6 people in 1997, 1996, 1997 knew that the NWO was a ripoff of something from, I believe it was All Japan or New Japan, whatever, one of the two, or the two together. One of them, Right. Nobody knew that. So could you do it today and not get reamed for it? No.
No.
But back then, yeah, you could. And that was the glory of the pre-internet days. But, and Scott Hall was so integral in that. That's what's the word I'm looking for?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, well, good enough. I'm tired. Yeah. I mean, Razor Ramon was over like Rover. He was never going to be the guy, I don't think. I don't think Vince saw him as that. I think he could have been. I think he should have been. I'd have pushed him as champion over Diesel. Yes, Diesel's bigger. But as much, you know, and I think Kevin Nash should probably tell you, between the two, Scott Hall had the charisma between the two. I love the famous story of when Scott Hall pitched Razor Ramon to Vince. Vince had never seen Scarface or any of those movies, had no idea what he was doing, just thought it was awesome. I mean, he pretty much was playing Tony Montana in a wrestling ring.
True.
And, but it worked. And I was watching the story last night or yesterday sometime, the story on YouTube of Scott Hall talking about when he really first became Razor. They wanted to know, you know, would the crowd see him as a heel? Would they see him? He was a heel at first. They really wanted to know how the crowd would react. So they put him against Shawn Michaels in Madison Square Garden. I believe it was just a house show, one-on-one. And Shawn was a heel at the time. And they wanted to see, you know, heel versus heel. But who would the crowd, you know, want to win this? You know, who would be the de facto baby face here? And, you know, he said him and Shawn talked about it in the back. And, you know, Razor being bigger and a little gruffier looking. Not that, you know, because Shawn had the, you know, the pretty boy, quote unquote, looks at the time. Everybody thought that, you know, Shawn would be the baby face. He, you know, fly around, sell for him, and Razor be the heel. It didn't turn out that way. They started going the match, and they said they got about 2-3 minutes in it, and you start hearing Razor, Razor, Razor from the crowd. And they're like, did not see that coming. Did not see that coming. So he was over. He was so good. I mean, that Razor's Edge finisher has always been one of the best. Yeah. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's things like this that kind of, I mean, it kind of reminds you that these men and women are human. You know, that these are people who, I mean, we watched growing up who, you know, have, I mean, I'm sure they got their stuff, but, you know, they got, you know, fond memories with a lot of other people in the business. And to us fans, you know, these guys are larger than life. You know, like I would have been in awe seeing Scott Hall out and about somewhere. Like I didn't get the chance to speak to him, but I did see Kevin Nash a few months back at a convention. And even still, I'm just like, whoa, like that's Big Sexy right there. You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, and it's the things like these guys, I mean, of course, guys from this, a lot of guys from this era, I mean, they're getting up there in years. I mean, pushing 50, 60 years old. And I mean, even still to this day, like, I mean, these are superheroes to us, or supervillains, depending on their babyface or heel. But
some of them went back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. You got your tweeners or your anti-heroes in there. And,
or your big shows who just bounce back and forth like a ping pong ball.
Right. Right. As like, and these are guys where, I mean, you hear things like this or you see things like this and know what's going down. You're just like, yeah, that, I mean, you know, that person we see in the ring, you know, flipping and flying, selling, slamming, you know, whatnot. I mean, that's still a human being. And this shows that to me. And when I had seen, I did see, you know, that, you know, Scott Hall was having a tough time after surgery and everything. I just didn't understand how tough it was until I had seen what Kevin Nash had posted yesterday on Instagram.
Yeah, I don't think people realize, yeah, how bad it was.
Yeah, I sat, read that whole thing, and I mean, yeah, I mean, it kind of, in a way, it brings you back down to earth. I mean, especially, you know, we've been watching, you know, Nitro, WWF, and it's just hard to believe. I mean, this was, I mean, it doesn't seem like that long ago, you know?
No, it really doesn't. It's, I mean, he was 63, and so 38, roughly, mm-hmm. now we're watching. So, well, not roughly, he'd be exactly 38, because
yeah,
that's how math works. And he had been going, he had been wrestling. This is 97. I think I read last night, got a start in 84.
I was like, yeah, he's been wrestling for a while. I've actually seen pictures that people have been posting. And this is back when he had like the curly mullet looking thing and a mustache.
Yeah. I didn't recognize him at first. It was a picture of him and Henning. What Henning, wasn't it?
And I've Mr. seen Perfect. That one.
Yeah. As a tag team champions, with, I think the AWA probably.
It was way back. Yeah, I have no idea. I actually just seen it a little earlier.
I glanced at it. I didn't look at it. I'm pretty sure that was the AWA belts, tag belts, but I could be wrong.
So oh, there it is. Me. You are correct.
Hey, what do you know? 1986, AWA, yeah. Working for Vern up there.
Big Scott Hall.
Yeah. But, and I put it on Twitter last night. I mean, the dude was the ultimate babyface redemption arc.
Absolutely.
I mean, we all know that. I think about the time we're watching and later, he had his demons, his mm-hmm. inner demons, and later, you know, last probably what 5-10 years, because I know he worked with DDP, got clean, got healthy. That speech at the Hall of Fame. The closing line. I mean, that just gives you chills. Follow your dreams. Hard work pays off. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do. That's Scott Hall.
Oh yeah.
And I think X-Pac put this morning, out of all that click, the group, he said Scott Hall was by far the smartest of them. Which is funny, because he always played like the, I don't want to say stupid, but just a yo, you know, he always had that, I'm not the brightest, but I'm going to kick your butt.
Yep.
He'll be missed. I mean, not a whole lot more we can say about that. I mean, he was a big, big influence, especially on what we're watching now.
Absolutely.
Like you alluded to earlier, none of this would happen without him. I watched that him showing up versus a Mike Enos match, which I believe Mike Enos was still called the Mauler at that time. And he just comes through the crowd and people are like, Tony Khan likes to talk about the forbidden door. This was really it for a while until he literally had to say that he wasn't employed by the WWF on TV to appease the lawyers.
Uh-huh.
But for a while, they skirted the line between work and a shoot. But I mean, it was always a work, but they made it look like a legit shoot invasion. And it worked so well. Him just showing up, asking for a mic, and standing there in the middle of a match. Hey, yo, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. And you talked about him leaving WWF. They could have stayed. They could have stayed and made money. They made more money in WCW, but that was never a guarantee.
Nope.
WCW, when they left, was the legit number two, and it wasn't even close at the time, really. It was kind of like what we think of Impact now. It's the minor league.
Yep.
I mean, it's where you older wrestlers go who Vince just doesn't want anymore. But that wasn't Hall and Nash. They could have easily stayed, and they took a chance, and I'm glad they did, because this is what we got.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, unfortunately for Scott Hall, death was the one finisher he couldn't kick out of. But by God, he gave it a hell of a run.
That's the way I look at it, man. I was the great wrestling promotion in the sky, but I was ready for the bad guy.
Yep. I like that meme. It's the one where, like, the Grim Reaper comes and gets you, and it's Scott Hall, and he goes, he's like, "Are you ready to go?" He's like, "Was I a bad guy?" And he goes, "No, you were the bad guy." And then they walk off together. I love that. Was whoever made that, my hat is off to you.
Absolutely. I haven't seen that one, but yeah, I can dig that.
Yeah, that was a good one. Was I a bad guy? No, you were the bad guy. And he was, and he was really good at it. All right. Speaking of things we're good at, I guess we'll get to our go from somber to show me your boobies. Spring break 97. Spring breakout 97. Whew, so this got interesting quick. Yeah. All right. So, like we said, we're in Panama City, Florida. I wonder if a young Adam Cole's here tonight.
That'd be fascinating.
Would be if we could see him in the crowd. I didn't think I should have looked. Might have been. See, he would be probably 10-ish around this time.
Give or take.
Yeah, give or take, yeah. All right, so we start off the show. We see Hogan and Rodman doing a promo together. Well, that was a surprise look.
Yeah, Adam Cole, let's see, 97. Adam Cole would be, let's see, how old was I in 97? I was 8. Four. He was 9. Or I would have been 9. I would have been 8 at this time. Yeah, March of 97, I was 8. So he'd have been 7. He's a year younger than me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I've done nothing with my life, baby.
Yeah, so he'd have been 7. He'd born in 90?
89.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. That's how math works. Yeah, well, I feel old because I would have been, this is March, I'd have been 13. Yeah, I'm old. I keep forgetting, like, you posted something yesterday, like, it was a playlist of 2004, and, like, I was a freshman in high school. I'm like, I hate you. You're just a baby. That's why you're the baby face of this podcast.
There we go.
Anyway, we open up with Hogan and Rodman cutting a promo in front of one of Rodman's movies. Oh, wait, Rodman's only movie. Remember in the mid-90s when Dennis Rodman was a thing? Like they tried
I do.
Like whoever his publicist was, give him credit because he tried to make him something big. He was in a movie with, what was that, Jean-Claude Van Damme? I didn't read the poster. I don't care. It's Dennis Rodman. Wasn't he like hooking up with Madonna at one point? He wore a dress. Yep. Was him and Madonna married? I don't remember.
It's hard to tell.
But yeah.
He was all over the place, and Phil Jackson hated every minute of it.
Yep. But by God, the boy could rebound.
Indeed. And foul.
That's about all he could do. But hey, he made millions of dollars by catching a ball.
True that.
I think he averaged, what, 2 points per game for his career?
Give or take.
I'm pretty sure if you look it up, Dennis Rodman averaged more fouls per game than points. But hey, he rebounded, and there's a reason those Bulls teams won him.
Right.
He could play defense, too. I won't say he couldn't do anything else. He could play some good defense. Oh, remember? Never mind. I'm not getting into basketball. I was going to say, remember him and Ben Wallace always used to go at it when that was good battles. Anyway, but we see Rodman and Hogan. Oh, no, they're friends. Great. A limo pulls in. It's Team Piper / 4-3-2 Horseman, whatever. I don't know how that works. Team Piper that he made last week that oh, no, wait. This is – am I jumping the gun, aren't I?
Yeah.
Sorry. This is just Team Piper. Sorry. This is just Team Piper. All those nobodies we don't know. I don't know. Four Horsemen aren't there yet. Anywho, then we get told that Rodman is joining the NWO.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's mid-90s, almost mid-97. Who isn't?
No kidding.
I know. But anyway, all right, so we'll move to the ring. Our first match. High Voltage versus Jeff Jarrett Mongo with Deborah and Hallie.
Oh
yeah. I get why they did this match, but it irritates me. All right, so we get the beginning. Mongo is dominating High Voltage by himself, just both of them, toss them around like rag dolls. Jeff Jarrett tags in, pretty much the same thing. This crowd tonight was hotter than fire. They were drunk too, but they were a hot crowd.
Oh yeah,
and they love this because what's a magician's best friend? A drunk audience. They saw Mongo and thought, good wrestler. Let's see. Jeff Jarrett gets cheap shotted. High Voltage takes over. We get the We Want Flair chant from the audience. So at least there's, you know, decently know what they're watching crowds. Not just one of those like hog wild, why are we here crowds?
No doubt.
Jeff Jarrett makes a comeback all by himself. No hot tag. No, just starts to come back by himself. Then tags Mongo. Whatever. Mongo hits a tombstone on one of the douchebag High Voltage guys. And 1, 2, 3, Jeff Jarrett and Mongo win clean. No dissension. No fighting amongst themselves.
Did they just become friends?
What was the point of having them beat the crap out of each other in their matches for the last 2 weeks just to have them work perfectly here? We're all good now? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't get it. If you're going to do it the opposite way around. Have them work together, then have them beat the crap out of each other. Or I don't.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. I was like, all right, so these two beat each other over the head with a Halliburton suitcase the last 2 weeks. And now they're just like, we're best buds now. I mean, maybe they did it so they had something in common to make their tag team seem a little more believable. You got hit over the head with a Halliburton? Oh my God, me too. We have so much in common.
I can't explain this. I don't know. If I'm booking this, I do it is at the pay-per-view. What was it? Whatever the last pay-per-view was. What was that thing called? Super Brawl, that's it. I was trying to think Super Bowl. I'm like, that's not it. It's supposed to be, but it's not. You know, Jeff Jarrett accidentally hit Mongo and they lost. Then the next night, Mongo just clocks him on purpose. Save that. Have something happen where Mongo goes, you know, you owe me, Jeff Jarrett. You owe me. Then down the road, have a tag match and all. That's when he clocks him with and goes, we're even. Don't do it right the next night. Then have them work together 2 weeks later. I don't know. But overall, this wasn't a bad match. The crowd was really into it, so it kind of got me into it a little bit, if that makes sense. I do not like Mongo using the tombstone because reasons, but I get it. It's a safe finisher that he can do without killing somebody pretty much. As long as he does it proper. I mean, of course, anything you do properly. You're not going to kill somebody, but as pile drivers go, it's the much safer one.
Indeed.
I gave it a B. It was good for Jarrett and Mongo versus High Voltage. It wasn't going to get any higher. A B's as high as I would go with this match. And that's where it was. That's how good it was.
Oh, no problem. I went with a C-plus here. The match was what it was. It was basically just a thing to get Mongo and Double J over before their match at the next pay-per-view, which, by the way, if I recall, isn't this the go-home show for Uncensored?
Yes.
Or is that in a couple weeks?
No, it's go-home.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, we're just going to get these guys over for their big epic battle against Public Enemy. Oh boy. Yeah, and High Voltage was High Voltage. So yes, C+. Like, it wasn't bad. The crowd kind of made it interesting because they were like all about Mongo in this match, and I thought that was great. That was hilarious. Excuse.
And Gesundheit. And one, maybe two. Nope. Shaking his head. Nope. He says only one.
Whew, my apologies there.
Ooh, I covered.
Thank you. All right. So we finished our tag team match there. And we go to our good buddy, Mean Gene Oakland, who's with Roddy and Team Piper with their kilts just flowing in the Florida wind. That was interesting. So, apparently since last week, people have been very critical of Roddy Piper, which, I mean, have you seen the team you put together, my man? I would have been pretty critical myself. Had some words for Howard Stern, or everybody's favorite shock jock, saying that Piper was hung like a pimple. Take that as you will.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds the special guest, Dennis Rodman, that he's wearing a kilt, not a dress. So don't try pinching his buns. Little shot at Rodman there. I like it.
Yeah, I wrote that.
Calls out his former employer, the World Wrestling Federation, for saying that they don't have one-hip wrestlers on their pay-per-views. So, I guess that would explain why the buy rate for the WCW pay-per-views were a little higher than those of WWF at the time. I mean, maybe it's the one hip that does it, man. Just saying.
I also like how they cut out the F of WWF.
I know, right? That was great.
He's like, people over in the WWF. Yeah, really.
It's kind of funny considering, I mean, I guess you called him out on that because it was like, you know, I guess it wasn't a big deal having one hip when I was beating the crap out of Goldust last year.
Yeah, they didn't block out Goldust. I don't know. And they've had to cut that out. This is live. They've had to cut and they didn't have 7-second delays back then because we haven't seen Janet Jackson's covered nipple yet.
Indeed.
So they've had to cut this WWF out on the network. That has to be a network thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yet those Vince McMahon on the other channel says it all the time. I am really confused with this.
I don't know. Who knows? It's probably just him trying to further bury the competition that hasn't been competition for, what, 22 years now?
I guess. I don't know. Maybe they have a thing where they can put it on their show on the network, but other companies couldn't say it. I don't know. Because maybe because, you know, when it's on Vince's show, you'd know that they're referring to the World Wrestling Federation. But on WCW, I guess if there's one person that might think, hey, maybe they're talking about the World Wildlife Federation.
I was like, I didn't know Piper was into pandas like that, but all right.
Because when I first thought this, my first thought was, you know, maybe this isn't as live as they say it is. Maybe it's taped. But we'll find out later in the show. No, this is live. 100% live because,
Oh yeah,
but we'll get there. We'll get there.
Excuse me. So, Piper assures his ragtag group of misfits that he's going to stick by him 100%, no matter what all those mean people all over the country are saying. I almost said all over the internet, but, you know, 97.
Yeah, all six people on her. They have message boards back then.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, all six people on a message board.
But just as we're about to have a heartfelt moment with Team Piper, woo! Out comes Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen minus Benoit and Woman.
And Flair got a huge pop when he came out because they were already chanting the first match. We want Flair. So, all right, I'm going to take over for just a second. So Flair comes out and Piper goes, is this good or is this bad? To Mean Gene. We're like, I don't know. Double A looks exactly like your biker dad. If you have a biker dad with the denim. And it's just Arn Anderson at this point. Love it. Arn Anderson says that if a burglar breaks in the house, you don't cower in fear. You bash their brains out. So apparently this whole Glock Anderson isn't a new persona. He had this in 1997. All right. Flair says he's out there to offer the Four Horsemen's help to Piper at Uncensored. So Piper thinks about it and says he's not so sure. Flair struts around like he's on cocaine. And Piper accepts. So the Four Horsemen three, Mongo, Jarrett, and Benoit are going to be on Team Piper. Sorry about your luck, the guys that were there yesterday. Tough Teddy said the kitty, but the milk's still good. Guess you got your moment in the sun. So, Piper is got his team, a much better team this time. So we'll see how it goes. This was a really good segment. I loved it, especially with Piper breaking kayfabe, talking about the other show. Very nice. I'm sure that wasn't allowed, but hey, uncensored is coming up. And, you know, Piper going nuts is just Piper. And I love it. I gave this an A. All right. We'll get Arnold's great here in a minute. He had a phone call he had to take. It was very important. All right, so we'll move on to our next match, which isn't very important. We get Squire Dave Taylor versus Prince Iaukea. And this is so important that right at the beginning of the match, we get taken to the back. The NWO Hummerino is pulled in. And they all get out like a clown car, and the Wall Street is down. The Wall Street is down. Somebody has clocked Mr. Wall Street. He is down and he is out. Same thing happened to Bubba. Doom, doom, doom. So, all right. We get back to the match. Dave Taylor is absolutely dominating Prince Iaukea. But Prince Iaukea wins when Dave Taylor goes to get him a suplex. And he kind of just falls down and Iaukea pins him. It was awkward. I don't know what they were working for here. If I'm putting this match on, I'm just letting Prince Iaukea, you know, get a win pretty clean, pretty convincingly. Since we're, you know, trying to put him as he got lucky, but now he's good. But no, this was Dave Taylor went to vertical suplexing, kind of dropped him, and Iaukea gets the 1-2-3. This got a C minus for me. It was there, didn't need to be here. Blah blah blah. So, yeah. What do you think, Arnold?
Why the hell is Prince Iaukea still the television champion?
I don't know.
Like, I think this failed Rocky Maivia from Wish experiment should cease. We need to either give this belt to Rey Mysterio, because obviously for some reason he's not in a cruiserweight picture, or let Lord Regal come out and beat the stuffing out of this guy and get his belt back. Something.
Anybody.
Obviously, they can't do that tonight because, well, they got the pay-per-view here in a few days. But
that didn't stop them last pay-per-view.
That's very true. That's very true. And I'm insulted by that, too. But overall, this match for me was not a fan. And yeah, like we talk about Rocky being kind of green at this point, but yeah, Prince Iaukea makes Rocky look like he's been in the ring for, I can't even think of a number. I mean, he makes him look like a vet at this point. It's, let's just not do it again. I gave this one a C minus. And I think I was just being generous at the time when I did that. So that's what I went with. Yeah, not fair. Not fair at all. And let's be real here. The TV title, as of right now, is dead. It's dead in the water. And quite frankly, we're not going to see this title pick up any sort of, I don't know how to put it. We're not going to see this title pick up any sort of like notoriety, so to speak, for a while. And it sucks.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
But what can you do, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I just didn't like this. Like I said before, while you were on, I don't know if you heard or not, this just needed to be Prince Iaukea coming out, beating the ever-loving snot out of Dave Taylor and winning clean.
Yep.
Whoever booked this weird finish, go home. Let your two-time booker, armchair booker of the year, take over here. I gave it a C-. What'd you give it?
C-, and I think I was being generous.
Yeah, pretty much too. What did you grade the Piper segment? Do you have any comments on that?
I'm glad you said something because I completely lost my spot. Yeah. Honestly, it wasn't too bad. I ended up giving it a B+.
I
really liked it.
Now, B+? All right. I gave it an A+ for one reason and one reason only. Any promo that's not contrived, forced, where they basically bash the other show, but it doesn't feel like they're bashing the other shows. That makes sense. Like this felt like it was Piper being real, not like the company told me I had to bash WWF. So we're going to say generic, they suck kind of things. He was specific. He mentioned something he did in that company.
It would have been an A+, but he betrayed my man, John Cena. You just can't. Come on.
Oh, God.
Poor John Cena and those other two schlubs.
I think one was a kickboxer and the other one was a boxer, a legit boxer, I think is what I read one time, or I don't know. Huh. I looked them up. They were nobodies. Anywho. All right. So B+, I gave it an A+. So I just gave it an A+ because, you know, it would have been an A, but then I had the plus when he started rambling on WWE.
Hey, so, fair enough.
All right. All right. We'll move on then.
No problem. All right. Next up, we have your U.S. heavyweight champ, Eddie Guerrero, taking on, fun fact, a former television champion holder, Jim Powers, with Teddy Long player. Yeah, that's right, folks. Jim Powers is back.
Was he gone?
I don't know.
We didn't miss him.
I didn't notice.
Nope.
But we have special guest on commentary, joining Tony Schiavone and Larry Zbyszko, the living legend, is the Iceman of 1,000 Holds. That's right, folks. Dean Malenko is at the commentary booth. And he says that both he and Eddie have tried to build the cruiserweight division in the U.S., and he thinks that Guerrero is jealous of the fact that he's been the cruiserweight champ, and he hasn't. Guerrero, that is. So, Yeah, there we go. Give a little shout out, trying to get the cruiserweight belt over. We'll take it. Excuse me. And at the same time, in a way, it kind of shows how kind of the U.S. titles become at this point. Because, I mean, it's kind of in the same boat as the television title, minus the fact that at least this title has somebody worth a darn on it. So there's that.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, I mean, really, you go back a few years, roughly about maybe, golly, when was Austin with the company? Early 90s, I'm going to say somewhere 93, 94.
I think 95, or maybe 92, 93, and 94 he spent in ECW.
Yeah, like he's late one 94. Of those guys kind of, yeah, 94, because you're right. 93, he was still in ECW. But yeah, whenever, I think, yeah, he had a match with, I believe it was Ricky Steamboat for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
And let's put it this way. Those days are long gone, folks. I mean, with no, I mean, no disrespect to Eddie Guerrero here. So I just want to say that. But at the same time, it's one of those things. It's like you have all these belts. It's one of those things. How do we book this?
Why? Like, it's a problem WWF has right now. You have too many belts.
Thank you.
I will say, if the rumor is true and they're unifying the world heavyweight and universal championship, that's writing one wrong.
Oh boy, can't wait to see Brock versus Roman number what, 12?
Yeah, well, I don't know. If somebody can explain to me what they see in Brock Lesnar at this point, I don't get it. I haven't got it in years. I don't like part-timer. I don't like Hogan right now only having a match every 6 months. Nope. And he's got the belt, and I don't like it.
But I'll tell you what, though.
It's a little
give props where props are due.
It's a little
Brock will stare. Oh, sorry.
Sorry. I was going to say it's a little different with Hogan because his is more of a storyline heel chicken faction who, you know, he just won't wrestle. Not Lesnar, who's supposed to be this beast who can fight anybody and should be a fighting champion. But anyway, yeah, what was you going to say?
I was going to say, I'll give props where props is due about Brock because Brock will flat out tell you, look, it's money.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I will give him props for that because if he was one of those guys, I don't feel like defending the title. It's in my contract. You know, that whole thing. Then it's like, dude, you've lost all credibility. But you get him on any interview, work, shoot, work, doesn't matter. He'll straight up tell you, I'm here for the money.
And we all know it. And people will still, quote unquote, buy. He's a ticket seller, blah, blah, blah. I don't buy that. Don't think he's been pushing ticket sales as much as they want us to believe he is.
Not since like 2006, 7, yeah. 8, maybe.
When he left the first time, when he came back, when he started this run with this part-time run, like when him and Goldberg, about that era, and they started using him as a part-time champion.
Mm-hmm.
No. Nah,
so it got, I mean, that's what I mean, it kind of got stale. But like, you know, like if he, you know, you have him, he leaves, he tries football. He goes to the UFC. He's a UFC champion there for a while. I still, one of my favorite fights of his was Frank, when he fought Frank Mir the second time. I loved it. The post-fight interview was the best.
Was Heyman there?
I wish he was, because that would have been great. Because, I mean, Brock kind of, I loved it. Like, to paraphrase it, he pulled the horseshoe out of Frank Mir's fourth point of contact. And, of course, you know, they were sponsored, I believe, by Bud Light at the time. So he grabs a mic from Joe Rogan and says, I'm going to go home and drink a Coors Light. And then he says something about his wife that I'm not going to say because we're a family program.
sounds about right. At this point with Lesnar, put him in the Undertaker role. Bring him back around WrestleMania. Give him a match. Don't give him a belt.
Nope.
And be done with it.
Nope. Yeah, that's the thing. You push a guy, make this guy, you know, well, don't make him. Well, yeah, let him be cocky, like fool himself. You know, I haven't lost since this or that, you know, blase, blase, blase. Let Brock show up out of nowhere, suplex the guy to oblivion. Don't have him come back until maybe 2 weeks before WrestleMania. The guy's cutting a promo. Here comes Brock. Brock has Paul Heyman in his corner. blase, blase, blase.
No, at this point, he doesn't even need Heyman if he's only going to be around for just a little bit. But the other day, like, everybody who's seen Austin Theory knows this guy is going to be huge.
Oh, big, yeah.
Great talent, can talk. Just get him away from that stupid egg thing and that stupid cell phone selfie gimmick, which everybody's like, oh, he's stealing. Prince Pretty's. What was the guy?
Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze. He's stealing Tyler Breeze's gimmick. I'm sorry. We're watching 1997 and we're watching some Mr. Sonny Ono with a camera take selfies with everybody. I'm sorry. If you're going to talk about stealing, then Tyler Breeze stole it from Sonny Ono in 1997. Have you noticed?
Mate, IWC.
Yeah. So, no, he didn't steal it from Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze stole it from Sonny Ono. So, back off. But anyway, so everybody knows, everybody loves Theory, wants to see him pushed. So they put him in a title match with Brock at Madison Square Garden house show the other night. Big show.
Oh, yeah.
Brock squashed him in 30 seconds.
Huh.
Why are we talking about the other company again?
That's a good point, and we are way too far in the future.
Yeah.
All right, let's throw this time machine in reverse.
Eddie Guerrero.
That's right. So this was short. So after Jim Powers decides to rough Eddie around a little bit, hits a I don't even remember what that move's called. Was it the Hilo?
No idea. I didn't write
it. It's a lucha move.
I didn't write it down.
It hits a lucha move, basically. And pins Jim Powers with his feet under the ropes. Wait a minute. Here comes Teddy Long, playa. And he is griping about that because his feet are under the ropes. So that shouldn't count, you know, all that good stuff. So, Eddie then pulls Powers into Teddy Long, rolls him up. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah,
I don't know. Doesn't seem like a mistake this week.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see a little bit of that lie, cheat, steal coming out.
And which is kind of odd considering having Malenko on commentary. It's like, if you guys have a match, who am I supposed to boot?
I guess Malenko, because he's full on heel and Eddie's pseudo heel right now. Quasi heel.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Cause it's like, I like where this is going. Cause I know where it's going, but at the same time, this is kind of like,
let's hurry up and get there.
Can we just hold off just until after the pay-per-view, after your match with Malenko, or during your match with Malenko? That'd be even better. You should do that.
Oh, good idea. We'll see.
That'd be fantastic.
To me, this was all about the Malenko on commentary and Guerrero winning.
Yep.
Powers was there to eat a pin.
Pretty much.
I like Malenko said on commentary, he'll go down in history as one of the all-time great pure wrestlers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Called that one. Check. Check that box. I'm excited for the match, but this didn't do a whole lot for it.
No, this was purely storyline based. Like, I mean, Eddie's the champ. He's in this feud with Malenko. I could give two craps less about Jim Powers. What's up, Teddy Long? You the man, regardless. Overall though, I mean, I ended up giving this one, this is another C+ for me. And a lot of that, because it's like, I don't know. It's Jim Powers. Did it for me. I could have just done with a 5-minute promo between these guys, or even have Mean Gene have Malenko in the back and do a split screen for this. Just like, Eddie Guerrero, blah, 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 and let Eddie go out here and just just harm this man in front of thousands of people. And I'd have been okay with that. It is like, I don't need Jim Powers to get any sort of offense here.
Yeah. I gave it a B minus, and that was a lot of Malenko on commentary and Guerrero's interview with Gene afterwards. The match was C minus at best. Because it was just there, but not even interesting. I didn't care for the finish. I did, but I didn't, if that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm actually glad you brought up that interview because, excuse me, Mean Gene Okerlund is back. He's getting a word in with Mr. Guerrero after that match, considering, you know, just what just went down in there. Eddie, what are you doing in there? Like, what's going on? This is not the Eddie Guerrero we know and love. And Eddie's like, look, like the fact that y'all are judging me for how I do my matches is completely unfair. Meanwhile, you got this dude over here who straight up choking people in the middle of the ring. That's assault. It's not my fault. Y'all did this to me. Like,
pretty much.
I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Yeah, that was good.
The promo itself got an A because it's Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah. All right. So we'll move on. We're lapsing on time. And that doesn't end. We'll talk about more of that at Uncensored. Next, we get Sergeant Craig Pittman versus DDP.
Bang!
Self high five. All right. So, beginning of the match, DDP's in control. Did you see that one arm famouser he hit?
Walker
drop or whatever. Why is no one using that as a finisher?
Seriously.
Don't get me wrong. I like the rocker dropper, but holding the one arm under your butt as you hit it just adds to it. Pittman gains control for a little bit, does some ground and pound. DDP jumps up, whacks the diamond cutter. 1, 2, 3. Finish was never in doubt.
No. And
as long as there was no outside interference from NWO, the finish was never in doubt. Pittman lasted a lot longer than I thought he should have.
Yep.
This match went almost 5 minutes. That tells you how long I thought Pittman should have lasted. I'm still waiting for somebody just to do a lockup. And as soon as they go to lockup, DDP just grabs him the diamond cutter and finishes it in 10 seconds. We need that match. So we get Mean Gene with DDP. DDP calls out Savage and then. What happened? Where'd the lights go? Did you not hear the conversation I just had?
Leave it to Florida to have a club where the owner doesn't pay the light bill.
Did somebody pull out an extension cord? But remember earlier when we told you that we knew this show was live? This is how we knew.
Yep.
The lights, the sound on the ring, everything went out. And they kind of broke to the helicopter shots for a while.
Yes,
we could hear Shivani.
Hit too hard.
Yeah, we could hear Shivani, but we couldn't hear Mean Gene in the ring. I don't think Mean Gene could hear anybody else because you could tell he was still doing the interview and there's going to nobody. I'm sure the truck's yelling, shut up, Gene. Shut up, Gene. This ain't going to anybody. Hold off. But we'll get back. We'll get back to this in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
And we're back. So we've returned and the lights come back on. And again, he just calls out Savage, says Savage won't acknowledge him. Yeah. So blah, blah, blah. This, I like the promo. I like the match. It was a little too long for me, but overall, the promo was really good. DDP is really coming into his own and becoming the DDP we all knew he could be and should be. I end up giving this a B.
Were you reading my mind?
It's a short read.
Ouch.
This is why I'm the heel of the podcast.
Crying. Nah, I mean, I went with a B with this one too. I mean, yeah, my only gripe is, yeah, this went on a little bit longer than it should have. For what we got afterward, I give them props for basically kind of picking up where they left off after the power came back on. So I'll give him that. I guess Ted Turner wired the club owner a little bit of cash. Like, here, man, we come on. Really? Here. Don't tell anybody it was me. So I'm pretty sure Ted Turner was like, nope, 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 nope. We got to beat Raw. We have to beat Raw, especially this week. We have to beat Raw. And yeah, I was like, I'll gladly take it. And it's DDP, baby. I'm all in DDP. It's over like Rover right now.
All right.
Bees all around. Now for this next match. To quote the great Captain Lou Albino, Lucha Lucha, CC. Of course, I'm talking about a cruiserweight battle between Rey Mysterio and Galaxy. I literally put in my notes here, Lucha Lucha, CC.
Pretty much.
Because this is exactly what that was. This was, I feel like, I can't even find a word to describe it, really. Choreographed?
Yeah, a little too much.
Is probably the best way to do it, to say it. I'm pretty sure Ray probably holds some sort of record for most drop kicks in a match. To the point where he almost drop kicked this guy into the pool.
Yeah,
it would have been hilarious.
Yeah, we forgot to mention this whole thing. The ring is on like this floating apparatus thing that you have to walk across a ramp to get to. It's like in the middle of a pool at this club, outdoor club kind of thing.
Because that seems safe.
Yeah, it did, because there was points you could literally see the ring move.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are trying to jump off the ropes. I'm thinking, I mean, I'm not saying it was floating around like a ping pong ball in water, but you could see it move. It's not steady.
Oh, yeah. And as we'll see soon on this show, it definitely gets put to the test. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, especially when some bigger guys are in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have the next match?
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
at one point, Galaxy tries to walk the ropes. Ray trips him up. Galaxy completely whiffs on a moonsault, which gets him all groggy for a springboard Hurricane Rana by the aforementioned Rey Mysterio, who gets the win. That was the match, y'all. Overall, I mean, it was fun to watch in terms of, you know, Lucha Lucha stuff. But at the same time, it was kind of like, again, you got this wrestler here who's supposed to be going for a belt. I guess, I mean, this is a way to get him over. So, okay, cool. We got Ray over. I have no complaints about that. I think personally, I would have liked to have seen a appearance from one Lord Steven Regal, but that's just me. If you couldn't tell, I'm a huge mark for William Regal.
Oh, same. My new goal in life is to shake William Regal's hand.
I'd totally be down with that.
And I'm not saying like I'm going to meet him at a convention and want to shake his hand. I want to personally meet William Regal and have him shake and just shake his hand. So that's my new goal in life. Hashtag, I want to shake Regal's hand.
I want him to tell me that I've besmirched his good name while giving me his patented Regal scowl.
Oh, I would just flat out just shake his hand and he could chop me with the other. I don't care.
I can't even do it. Like, I might even want to try. Just that smug. I wish I could do it.
The, oh my God, that you have the stench of an American.
Yes. That exact one. But I will say, so far with this card, before I give my grade, predictable is a word that's kind of, you know, lost its luster up to this point in our history of human history. But so far, Nitro's matches have been just that. It's kind of like, all right, we got this guy versus this guy. Who's getting a push? Okay, wrestler A is getting a push. I'm not saying let some guy like Galaxy beat Rey Mysterio, but this is kind of predictable. And especially, you know, considering what the other companies got going on right now, we might want to throw some wrenches in here. Not like, I mean, the power went out, so I mean, that wasn't predictable, I suppose, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, true.
That, I mean, I don't think it was booked that way unless Vince Russo did it.
Oh, he probably would. He probably would.
But then again, I guess people's arguments would be, well, I mean, Psycho Sid's a WWF champion right now. I don't want to watch that.
That's very true as well. Very true as well.
But yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, this was another one of those ones that was short. We almost saw a guy get kicked into a pool, so that was pretty cool. I gave this one a B-. And a lot of that was, I mean, I like Rey Mysterio.
Now who's reading who's mind?
Other than that, Lucha Lucha CC.
Now who's reading who's mind? Because that's exactly what I gave it.
Oh, see, I tried that a second ago, and all I saw was drywall.
Oh, well, yeah. You'll get that. Son. I earned that. I earned every bit of that. All right, so we'll move on. So we get Mean Gene with some MTV VJ. I don't care. Don't care. Skipped it. Something about a Miss Monday Nitro. Don't care. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah.
Go for it, because I skipped it.
Okay. So congratulations to 1997 Miss WCW Nitro. Got looked a little deeper into what she's been up to since then. And yikes. Let's just say she's got a laundry list of charges against her. I'm going to leave it at that. Pamela Rogers, if you want to look her up, folks. Apparently, she took the song Hot for Teacher as a green light. Let's just put it that way.
Yep. Yeah, like I said, didn't skip, didn't watch it at all.
Probably for the best.
Yeah.
Pure cringe. After reading that, I'm like, wow, that's really nice. Like, do we have like a photo shoot? Nope, but we got a bunch of articles. Oh boy. So what's our next match, Drew?
Our next match is, thank God we get a match. Hold on. Wait, what's, huh? Yeah.
I think that means it's hour two, y'all.
It's hour two after hour. No, I'm just kidding. We're not there yet. Yeah. So we get a big six-person tag team match.
That's putting it mildly.
No, eight. Sorry, eight. Eight-man tag. I counted wrong. We get the Steiners with Lex Luger and the Giant versus Greg Valentine, Roadblock, and the Amazing French Canadians, a.k.a. every jobber who drove to Florida, who wasn't on the card already. So this, we know who's getting going over in this one. This is Team WCW in their warm-up match. Scott Steiner did a vertical suplex on Roadblock, and the ring moved.
Yep, I was like,
Giant choke slams Roadblock 1, 2, 3. The others were in the match. I didn't care. This was not needed to be on here.
Nope.
Those four did not need, they're already over. They, no doubt they could work as a team. I guess we just needed to see them. I don't know. This was more just to get to what happened next. Mean Gene with Team WCW. Lex was telling Piper, don't trust a horseman. Well, he would know. Lex is using way too many big words for a bar in Florida, B, a Florida, B, wrestling. Like we've said, the man is really, really smart.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know what a narcissist was until Lex Luger showed up to WWF.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What is with all these short matches?
I don't know. They're really, really short.
It's like, I feel like they're just like, trying to push them all in. And it's just like, I mean, I think we already know what's coming at the end. If you're doing this, it's like you're doing these super short matches. That can only mean one thing. We're going to get like a 30-minute monologue from Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we need. But yeah, nice to see the Hammer and Roadblock and those French-Canadian dudes get, I think, jobbed in this match is an understatement.
Yeah, this was just yeah. Why?
I think Team WCW could have just came out with a excavator at this point and been like, yep, here we go. We're gonna dig this pool a little deeper.
Pretty much.
Chuck the guys inside.
I gave it a B, but that's mainly just I liked who was in it, and the whole ring moving on the pool thing was kind of cool. I'm pretty sure before they started the match, Scott's like, I bet you I can make the ring move.
I guarantee it. That seems like a Scott Steiner kind of thing.
And he looks at the other team and goes, who's the biggest mother on the other team, and I'll make him move.
Roadblock was the perfect candidate. You.
Pretty much. You. Suplex. Now, what? I don't know how to take a suplex. Do it.
You're going to learn today.
Oh, all right. So what's next, Arnold? Or did you give your grade?
Oh, I don't think I did. This one I gave a C+. Like, not because it was bad or anything like that. It was there. It was short. Once you saw who was there, obviously, we're not going to put a team of Greg Valentine, Roadblock, and the Amazing French Canadians over.
Yeah.
Not against guys who have a match in, like, 5 days.
Yeah, not going to happen.
But I'm pretty sure that's the main event, if I do recall. Yeah, that is the main event. It's that big,
yeah, that big team three. Battle. That, yeah. That
oh, did you man. Mention that they Shivani went over the rules for the main event?
Yeah, doesn't that sound familiar?
It does. I feel like I've seen it before.
I feel like I've seen that. Where was that? Oh, yeah. In Your House Final Four.
Literally several weeks ago.
Except they just added more people. And then they added the base. They kind of combined the In Your House Final Four event with War Games rules.
Yep.
So we get, see if I can do the Michael, because Michael Buffer does this at the pay-per-view. Two men will start in the ring for they round one, 5 minutes. Eliminations occur on pinfalls, submissions, or thrown over the top rope. After 5 minutes, we begin round two, where one man from each team will enter the ring, making six. Then 2 minutes later, we will start round three, and another man from each team will enter. Then we begin round four. Yeah, so round one's 5 minutes. Every round afterwards, 2 minutes. Somebody comes in from each team, just like War Games, pretty much. Yep. Pinfall, submission, or thrown over the top rope.
Yep.
Yep. Exciting.
So, yeah, there we go.
Speaking of exciting, what's our next match?
Next up, we get another cruiserweight bout. We get Ultimo Dragon.
With?
The aforementioned Sonny Ono.
And what does he do as soon as they come through Gorilla?
takes some pictures.
Snaps a selfie of him. And, so don't give me that Paris Hilton invented the selfie when Sonny Ono's doing it in 97.
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton copied Sonny Ono.
That is gimmick infringement.
Exactly. That's hot. Because she stole it. Something stolen's hot. Never mind.
So anyway,
I'll mute Dragon. Myself now. I mean, I think after that, I really don't.
That just took an awkward turn. Nah. So Ultimo is facing off against Hoovy tonight. Juventud Guerrera. And Shivani does tell us that Ultimo has a match with Psicosis at Uncensored. So what was it I said earlier about the Mysterio Galaxy match? What's that word? Oh, yeah, Lucha, CC. There's a lot more of that here. Just Lucha counter. Wait a minute, what's that over there? Is that a body slam? Nope, it's a Lucha counter. Until Sonny Ono decides to pop up and say, hey, look at me. I'm Sonny Ono. And Hoovy says, wow, you are Sonny Ono. And Ultimo says, well, here's my shot. So you get a double sledge right off the apron. Okay, Hoovy, good job, bud. So that almost sends Hoovy into the pool. Almost. Somebody's going to end up in this pool before the end of this broadcast. So, yeah, they're sitting there. They're kind of willy-wonny. Ooh. Okay, so we're back inside now. Ultimo delivers the deadly kick combo. And continues kicking the crap out of poor Hoovy while he's on the mat in serious pain. We get an awesome spinning neck breaker from Ultimo. It sets up the surfboard, which I like. We're seeing that a lot more. That's one of my favorite, like, cruiserweight submissions. I don't know why. It just looks super acrobatic and dope. But goes into a slingshot suplex for a two count. Okay, Hoovy. All right, so Ultimo goes to try to hit a release German, and Hoovy flips out of it just to drop kick Ultimo to the floor before hitting him with a somersault dive from top. Okay, Hoovy getting some offense in after getting kicked like a government mule. Shout out to JR. So we're back in now. Get a springboard spinning heel kick from Hoovy for a two count. Hoovy then proceeds to run into a knee in the corner. Gets hit with a running Liger bomb. Hurricane Rana, Tiger suplex. 1, 2, 3. Ultimo gets the win here. And I got to say, at least for me so far, this is probably the best match I've seen in my opinion, so far on the show. Because, I mean, this one was another one that wasn't really in doubt, but at the same time, they made it look good.
I'll just tell you how interesting I thought this show was. I have to go back and look and see what all we've got. yeah, probably. I can't argue with it. I might not agree, but I can't argue with you too much. Did you get the feeling? I think your analysis of this match lasted longer than this match. Because they went out and started at 1,000 miles an hour, never slowed down. I am pretty sure that power outage ate into some time. And they went out and said, you did have 5 minutes, now you have 3. Oh, yep. Well, we had a 5-minute match planned. Well, figure it out. Well, let's just still do everything. Sell nothing.
That is exactly how that went.
Go out, do every move we know we've planned on, sell nothing, and pin.
Mm-hmm. That is pretty much how that went. And I was there for the fact that it was a time crunch. I mean, these guys, they went. Let's put it that way. So they went. And I was like, I appreciated that. And honestly, anytime I see a Liger bomb, I'm going to pop. That's just me. But yeah, for me, I'll be honest with you. I gave this one an A. Like, even with, because I mean, like you said, like, we're going to say it was just counter after counter after counter. And yeah, it was rapid fire. Everything was rapid fire. And for me, even with that, because I mean, think about it. If this were, we'll say the Giant versus, I don't know, let's just say Hogan for kicks. And they're like, all right, guys, the power outage ate up a bunch of time. We need you guys to go in there and just, you have like 3 minutes.
That would suck.
I feel like that would be choke slam. 1, 2, Hogan kicks out. Big Show's like, you know what? I'll just stomp you and see what happens there. Hogan hulks up, shakes his head at him, points at him, does the whole Hogan comeback deal, leg drop, 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
And do the guitar music. And it'd be like, wait a minute, aren't you supposed to be NWO Hogan? And he was like, sorry, I just had a flashback.
Yeah, this was, I graded this a little on a curve because I realized this was a time crunch. Spoiler alert, not the last one we have tonight.
Nope.
I gave it a B. It's not my cup of tea when that's something like that, that kind of match. I prefer more of a slow paced, methodical, a lot of psychology, and there was none here. This was just move, 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 move. This was basic. And I will give it a little credit because it's the only match on this card that did that. It's not like, because if you watch a modern show, this is every match.
That's true.
Hit everything, fly around 100 miles an hour, make nothing, register, sell nothing. This, if this was a tag team match, this would have been every Young Bucks match ever. And you can fight me on that because you know I'm right.
Absolutely.
All right. I gave it a B. It was okay. You pretty much hit everything I wrote down, so we'll move on.
Lucha Lucha CC.
Pretty much. Next, we get Chris Jericho versus Scotty Riggs, still coming out to American Males. All righty then. So this one I had little hopes for. Thought this might be pretty good. We get an early back and forth. Riggs hit a big power slam off on Jericho. Loved it. Riggs hits 2 drop kicks. And I saw this on Twitter the other day, and I never really paid attention. But do this next time. And you guys out there listening, same thing. Next time you watch a Scotty Riggs match, pay attention to his drop kick. That man may have the best drop kick in all professional wrestling history. I never noticed it before, but it's flawless. Good spring, gets up. Basically, if parallel to the mat, if not more than parallel, if not his feet's a little higher than his head. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful drop kicks. I was looking at him here, and I rewound him and watched them both twice, so 4 times.
Right.
Beautiful drop kicks. Go Scotty Riggs. I wish he would have been the one to go to the NWO instead of Buff, but anywho. Not really, but Buffle's the more natural heel, but anyway, speaking of Buff, so Riggs goes up to Jericho, knocks him, or Scotty Riggs goes top rope, Jericho knocks him on his crotch, Jericho goes for superplex, Riggs blocks it, hits a diving shoulder tackle from the top rope, nice move, they're both down a little bit, here comes the aforementioned Buff Bagwell with a belt, whips Scotty Riggs like a government mule, DQ, and Jericho knocks Buff Bagwell out of the ring. Scotty Riggs wins by DQ.
Well.
I guess Jericho won by DQ, not Scotty Riggs, right? Or did Buff Bagwell go after? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Somebody won by DQ. It's not important. Bagwell interrupted the match. With a belt, setting up a strap match at Uncensored between these two.
Huh.
We'll see how that goes.
Indeed.
This didn't need to be here at all. At all. No, I'm done with Scotty Riggs and Buff Bagwell. It's been how long now? 4 months?
Seriously, it's been a while.
And they haven't even like teased anything between them until now and 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
they broke up, they had a match, and they kind of went their separate ways. Why are we back to this? I don't know. Overall, the match between Jericho was going and Riggs was going very well. I liked it. It was going nice. Just didn't care for the finish. I gave it a B minus.
The finish was really my only gripe about it. I was like, why did Buff feel compelled to show up and whip Riggs with a strap? We'll never know. So I feel like we're just going to get another 5-minute strap match where one guy chokes another guy and tags the ropes while the guy or the turnbuckles while the guy behind him does the same thing. Get to the fourth one, struggle. This guy's trying to pull back and he's like, no. Pulls forward because, you know, wrestling, and then the other guy hits it, wins, surprise. So I'm going to go ahead and give my prediction here. I bet Scotty Riggs wins the strap match. Just going to throw that out there.
We'll see. All right, yeah. Then we get Mean Gene with Medusa. Says she's still in the titles hunt. Well, there's only two. Well, I guess now three women on the roster, so everybody's in the title hunt.
So I'd hope you were.
And she wonders why Luna isn't here tonight. And she says she'll go through hell to win the title. Okay. Cool. We'll move on. Actually, I'm going to stop you there. I'll do the next match. Kevin Sullivan with Jacqueline versus Hardbody Harrison. We're not going to review this. This was stupid. Jacqueline hit a couple suplexes on that douchebag who's in life in prison. I fast forwarded because, Kevin Sullivan threw him in the water. He's the guy that got to go in the water. So what's after that, Arnold? Screw that guy. I don't want to even talk about him after. I know we talk about Benoit, seriously. But, you know, there's extenuating circumstances with that one. This guy's just an a-hole.
Fair enough. I don't know if he went to the interview after that or not.
Who was it with?
Mean Gene Okerlund, Taskmaster, Jacqueline, and Jimmy Hart.
I heard the names Chris and Nancy and fast-forwarded.
Good call. Because I did the same, because it's like, all right, guys, can we wrap this feud up, please? And not even just because of everything else. I just mean I'm done with it.
Oh, I'd have been done with this in 97.
Yep. And yeah, I'm done with that. So drum roll, please. That's right, folks. We're in the last little bit of the show. And you heard the drum roll that got interrupted by the NWO. And Sleazy E's back. Hey, Sleazy E, we missed you, man.
Hey, isn't he suspended?
Yeah. But then again, I mean, if I'm the head honcho over at Turner Sports, yeah, I wouldn't want to touch foot in Florida either. I believe the name Florida means like dirty in Spanish or something.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish is a little rusty, but that sounds about right to me.
If you actually translate Florida back into its native Greek roots, it translates into man who will do something stupid.
These are facts, folks. Don't look them up, but these are facts.
Write them down. Don't look them up.
Just take our word for it. You heard it on the internet, so it's obviously true. Oh, Sting's here too, by the way. So, yeah, Sting's here. And these guys come out and they hype some footage of the Hulkster hanging out with Dennis Rodman in front of the movie poster for his movie with one Jean-Claude Van Damme. Okay. The movie was trash. I'd never even heard of it. We see Robin put on an NWO shirt. So it looks like the New World Order has infiltrated the National Basketball Association through the vessel of Dennis Rodman. Okay, cool. So apparently that was big news on the entertainment side of things. Cool. I don't care.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we're back here now. We've got done seeing his goofy footage that no one really cared about. Hogan hands Sting in an NWO shirt. Sting just stands there. He's like, I don't want this. Hogan's like, yeah, sure you do. Poppycock. So he just throws it over his shoulder. You know, no big deal. And the NWO guys say that Team WCW don't sing it, bring it. All right. Like, them fighting words. Like, yeah, come on, guys. You wrote the check. Cash it. Let's go.
Did you notice DiBiase staring at Sting? Yeah. I don't know what that was. I don't know if Ted was just trying to get Sting to break or what, but he just gave him the glare like the whole time. After he put the shirt on, DiBiase just standing there just glaring at him.
I was wondering that too. I was like, is this like a thing or is he just trying to rib him? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, that's like, is this a rib? He's trying to get him to break because, you know, Sting's not supposed to break any kind of smile or anything. Is DiBiase just messing with him or is he trying to play the I'm suspicious of you card?
So, yeah, I was kind of like, I don't know what's going on here. So I couldn't figure that out. And I did like how Macho Man forgot DDP's name because he was just so excited for Dennis Rodman joining the new NWO.
Yep.
Let's see. We get Eric Bischoff, and he asks Sting if he remembers anything, really. I don't remember what he said. He's asking if he remembers, and Sting just kind of... I love that. I'm loving Sting right now. He hasn't had a match in like 5 months, right? Something like that. We haven't seen him since, what, War Games? I don't even think it was War Games, was it? It was something like that. But he just gave Bischoff just a dead stare. And, you know, whoever the guy's name was, he's looking for Savage. And, you know, he seems kind of cool about the situation. You know, it's whatever. It's Macho Man. He don't care. See, Dennis Rodman will be at the pay-per-view on Sunday.
Ooh.
So, I'm guessing Chicago doesn't have any games at any point this week.
Guess not. Maybe not on Sunday.
I mean, we're talking March. I mean, this is right before the playoffs start in the NBA.
He's probably hurt.
And I'm sure your team is probably the number one seed. You know what? It doesn't matter. Y'all got Tony Kukoc. He can handle it.
Hey, don't start. He was very underrated.
Oh yeah, half their bench was underrated.
I mean, Kukoc was that first big stretch guy that really made a name for himself in the NBA. He was how'd you put it the other day? Tony Kukoc walked so Dirk Nowitzki could run.
So look, Luka Doncic could like
sprint.
Fly.
No, I'm sorry. Luke is not better than Nowitzki. I am sorry. I would not see that. You can't say that now. I may be wrong.
That, Skip Bayless.
Hey, I may be wrong in 10 years, but I don't see him being bigger than Nowitzki.
He's still young.
Hey, I'll always hold a special heart for a spot in my heart for Dirk Nowitzki for shutting up LeBron.
Fair point. That was probably one of my favorite final series right there.
Was too, because I just laughed and laughed and laughed.
So y'all put together a super team and got beat by aging superstars. You should be sorry for yourselves. That was fantastic. And I was like, and don't get me wrong, I'm not a LeBron hater.
I am.
But just the fact they are like, yeah, we'll totally let LeBron James be on a team with his buddies Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and a bunch of other people. Shane Battier.
Sharpay Head.
Yeah. What was the other dude?
Udonis Haslam.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him.
Who still plays for them?
I was like, yeah.
He
played on that team for a minute.
They keep him on the roster just as like a mentor, and he plays like 1 minute a year.
Which is funny. Like, you would think he's so much older, and I'm pretty sure Haslam got drafted a year before LeBron did.
Yeah.
It's like, dang, he seems so much older, but he's not.
Anyhow.
But, hey, he's had his time.
Wrestling.
So you heard it, guys. Like I said, Dennis Rodman is going to be at Uncensored. So you need to buy this pay-per-view, okay? Please, please. I'm begging you, please buy this pay-per-view. Because if you don't, it'll make Dennis Rodman very, very sad. And like everyone watching this on television in 1997, Tony Schiavone is really sitting here wondering, like, who is giving the NWO all of this airtime? Especially considering Bischoff is supposed to be suspended. Let's be real. Does it really matter at this point? So, I don't know. Yep. There was something else that I had. Oh, yeah, here's the question. So the other tag team match that was supposed to be at Uncensored, you know, with Double J, Mongo, Public Enemy, Harlem Heat. So surprise, it's just going to be Harlem Heat versus Public Enemy now in a tag match because Mongo and Double J are on Team Piper.
Yeah, because that makes it much more interesting, like that I'm going to watch.
Yeah, no. Fun times.
Yeah. Fun times.
And end credits.
That was Nitro. Woo! Way to go off the air and want me to get the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Did a great job of getting me ready for this pay-per-view. I mean, Dennis Rodman's going to be there. The Horsemen weaseled their way into the main event. We get Prince Iaukea back on our television screen. Public Enemy on our television screen. In a stipulation match between two mid-carders.
That's how our show goes off. We get to see two, at this point, Harlem Heat's a mid-card tag team.
Yep.
Who's not going for the belts. So, in a brawl with a should-be job tag team. That's how we go off the air.
Yep. Yeah, that is how we go off the air.
For Uncensored. Woo! At this point, it just feels like they're putting a pay-per-view every month just because they have to.
Yep.
And this one seems like it's a little early, like it should be at least a week later, because I don't remember when the last one was, Super Brawl, but it seems like this is only like 2-3 weeks later.
Yeah, like it didn't even seem like it was that long ago.
There wasn't a whole lot of time to build up to this. Yeah, we didn't even have time to build up to this. It was weird. Nope.
And I feel like, in a way, maybe this was their way of trying to be like, let's get this on the air like as quick as we can. We got to compete with WWF's March pay-per-view, which there's no.
That's true. Yeah, because it's going to be WrestleMania.
Yeah. This is our card. Like, this is the card for Uncensored. Okay. We have Buff the Stuff versus Scotty Riggs in a strap match. We have Ultimo versus Psychosis. Harlem Heat versus Public Enemy. Prince Iaukea versus Rey Mysterio for the television title. Eddie versus Dean in a no disqualification match for the U.S. title. And we get Team WCW versus Team NWO versus Team Piper. Okay.
Yeah.
There's one match I'm looking forward to on this card as of right now. And that is the match for the U.S. title.
There's also a couple matches. There is one match that'll be put on there that isn't announced ahead of time. So I hate cold matches on pay-per-views, and we get one. And let me tell you, it is a cold, cold match. Like, blood runs cold match.
I see what you did there.
See what I did there? Yeah. yeah, Glacier's in a cold match at the pay-per-view. We'll get there. We'll get there. It's go home time, so let's talk about this first, this show. Not a good lead up. It's not a bad show. This wasn't a bad episode of Nitro, all things considered. But it didn't do what it should have. No. It did not lead up to Uncensored like it should have.
Nope.
Didn't push storylines along enough to me. I don't get the whole point of that stupid segment last night with Piper getting a stupid team and now getting the Four Horsemen, which could be. I think maybe last week they thought Piper could get those guys over, and that was legit going to be his team. And then they backtracked and realized these guys can't get over in a week. Shocking. Who knew?
Surprise.
Yeah. And then they backtracked and shoehorned in the Horsemen here. Because if you notice, we were told last week that Benoit's still in the hospital.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden he's good enough to go Uncensored. Why? Because we booked ourselves into a corner and we need him.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Flair's still hurt. Anderson's retired at this point. We don't know that yet, but pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So we booked ourselves into a corner. So miracle healing. All right. So overall, this averaged out to a B for me, and it was barely, this was a roundup B. It was just barely got to B.
So yeah, this show, it was a B minus show for me.
Yeah. This was borderline B minus.
That was pretty much that. I just, as far as go homes, like this one,
Stinker,
it left a lot to be desired. Like for sure, left a lot to be desired.
Now, I will say this, if this was the show and there's 2 weeks left of the pay per view, fine, we're good. We're good. We're getting there. But as the absolute go home show, this sucks. Sorry.
Indeed. Indeed. What's I doing?
Getting interrupted.
A lot of that happens.
Yeah,
a lot.
My bad.
Oh no, you're fine. You're fine.
It's me. Call me.
Have any? Well, I guess I was going to say any final thoughts, but I feel like we both kind of gave our final thoughts here. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Kind of.
Left a lot to be desired, and which of course brings up the next question. This is a go home show.
Nope. Nope. WrestleMania's later this month. Nope.
Save your money.
Save your money.
You'll need an extra $20 to buy WrestleMania.
Spoiler.
I'm right there with you.
I have already actually watched the pay-per-view. It's not bad. I will say that. It's not bad. But I didn't know that at the time, so nope. I'm just going to flat out say nope, Mom. Keep your money.
Indeed, because I mean, yeah, as far as like the matches they've announced up to this point, like I said, with the exception of the one between Eddie and Dean, which I'm looking forward to for the competitors alone, I'm just like, I'll be okay without seeing the rest of these. Those are the ones they announced. So I'm like, I'm fine with that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening right now, feel free to give us your own thoughts. Would you ask your mom for money to buy WCW Uncensored 97? Feel free to let us know on our socials. Let us know at AEWRPod on Twitter and Instagram. Or if you really want to get that 1997 vibe, you can tell us through email at AEWR316@netscape.com.
No, wait, no.
Netscape@gmail.com.
Oh, sorry, 97@AOL.com.
Keyword AEW. Oh my
God. You have your AOL disc? Did you get your free AOL disc this month?
Oh my God. They sent so many of those in the mail. I was like, where are y'all getting all these hard, or where are y'all getting all these floppies from? Like, what is going on here? It wasn't even a floppy. It was like the little, hard one.
It was a disc. Yeah, it was a disc drive.
So yeah, you know, it was really cool. You know, if you had some work you were working on, like a project, and you're so proud of yourself that you take it and stick it to a magnet on your fridge.
Yeah, kids are home like, what do you mean disc for the internet? Yeah. Yeah. Yep. We're old
days. It's not like a freaking fax machine trying to get on the internet. And then
now they're great. Or now they're sitting there going, what's a fax machine?
What's a fax machine? Like, ask your mom.
I will say this. Why is a fax machine still a thing?
That's a good question.
Why are you faxing something to somebody? Every office, if you're faxing something to an office, email it to them and they can print it out. Why?
Right. I feel like if you have a fax machine, it's just there to be like, yep, this is an office.
Yeah, I don't get why we're faxing things in 2022 when we can just email it.
No doubt. I think faxes should have phased out.
But Drew, it's a hard copy. What am I supposed to do? Use a scanner, then email it. Yes, that's the same extra step, but you're going to have a scanner anyway if you have an office.
Right. I mean, shoot, I had a scanner on my printer in the dorms.
Oh, I did too for one simple reason. Never mind. We're not going. Yeah. Anywho. So yeah, don't buy this. Don't buy Uncensored 25 years ago if you're hearing us through a time warp.
Save your money. WrestleMania is coming up.
Save your money. WrestleMania is coming up. Yeah. So. Yeah.
That's pretty much all I got there.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that being said, I have been the man with the velvet vocal cords, Arnold. And with me as always,
your two-time Booker of the Year, Drew.
And we are freezing because I forgot what I was going to say. Talk about booking on the spot.
Yeah, I called an audible there to Arnold. I did it a little too late, so I'll take over since he froze. We're going to skip our normal ending and do a little tribute to Scott Hall. Hard work pays off. Follow your dreams. Hard work pays off. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do. Peace.
Peace, Chico.